5:07 in the third quarter. Dropping. It's a blitz. Blake scrambles away from it. Rolling to his right. Looking into the end zone. Looking. Fires it into the end zone. No side. Touchdown. There's now a touchdown. That's Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles fires to the middle of the field. Caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
Now I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
You know what you do when Allen Hurns is hurt? Go to A-Rob more.
First and goal, Jags from the 8-yard line. Shotgun for Bortles. Rolling to the right. Blake looks, pump fake. Looks, got away from the defender, fires into the end zone, diving attempt by Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Bortles to A-Rob for the score.
He is an absolute monster.
Second down and goal, Jags from the 7-yard line. They trail 42-32. Dropping, looking, it's a blitz, throws to the middle of the field. That is caught for the touchdown. Allen Robinson, a 7-yard touchdown catch from Blake Bortles, and the Jags are battling back.
Please clap.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Please clap.
All right, welcome in everybody. Please clap. Please clap. Jaguars Today is now on the air. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here on this super, the most superest of Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Here on 1010XL, the Ides of March, where all your fellow politicos get together and stab you is what they do. They don't necessarily stab you in the back. They just stab you on March 15th. They'll stab you right in the front. You see it coming. It's the one day of the year when everything is up front. So today is the day you exercise your civic duty. You're right as an American, unless you're a millennial like Tyler, who can't be bothered to register to vote today. So today, in lieu of that,
Just the presidential election year.
It's only the most divisive presidential field in probably anyone's lifetime that we can remember right now, at least going back to the early 60s. So what's the big deal? It doesn't matter who's in there. They're all the same guy or gal, as the case may be. Today, we are not going to vote. Well, we are. Some of us are going to vote in the presidential primaries today. Others are just going to vote on the poll question of the day, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. I actually heard Josie and T-Wig discussing this on Friday on their broadcast. Don't know how it came up, but I tuned in the middle of a segment on Friday and heard them discussing right now how, as things stand with the folks that the Jags have been able to sign in free agency, what does the top of the roster really look like for the Jaguars? In other words, who are the top five players? You probably just heard one of them. I can't imagine a top five list of Jaguars without Allen Robinson being on that list. Is he the best player on this football team right now? Do you have to give him that title based on the season he had?
I'd have to think about it.
I think I probably would give it to him.
He's definitely in the five.
Definitely in the five.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that.
He's definitely in the five, but he's definitely the first guy I would write down for the five as well. If I'm voting on who the best five players are on this football team, it's clear cut. He's an emerging guy. I think we've only seen him scratch the surface of what he could potentially become, a 1,400-yard, 14-touchdown guy in his second season, his first full season in the league. Remember, he missed the last, six games of the year of his rookie campaign. So today, you know, now that you've got Malik Jackson and Tashaun Gibson and Chris Ivory and, let's not leave out, Brad Nortman and others, Prince of Mukamara on board, who are the top five Jaguars? Where do the new guys fit in with the carryovers? Is Blake Bortles among your top five? I know that may be a crazy-sounding question because of all the touchdowns he threw and the excitement he brings, but he also led the league in interceptions. He had some very key mistakes of pick sixes last year that cost the team. So you voted however you like. That's the beauty of the democratic process. Share with us your thoughts on that on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, so Tyler can see what the democratic process in action is all about. You can also share your thoughts with us on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. A couple of big stories around the NFL that we'll touch on today, Tony. The league and the Players Association negotiating to perhaps, among other things, strip the rights of discipline away from Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League. It was a big key point that he took over disciplining players when he took over. He became the law and order commissioner. And really, you know, this was at a time where it seemed like Pac-Man Jones was the guy getting the most ink in the National Football League, and it was never for anything good. Roger Goodell came in handing out suspensions and fines and what have you, and he and the Players Association have never seen quite eye-to-eye since then. So you've got that going on. You also have a spokesman for the National Football League for the first time on record confirming that the league sees a link between CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and football, and the hits to the head that players take. This coming only, what, a month and a half or so following a Super Bowl week press conference in which an NFL spokesman denied there was any link between the two. What's the difference? The guy yesterday was under oath. Did conditions change all that much in the last month and a half? I kind of doubt that they did. So we'll talk about that a little bit today as well, and take your calls on any aspect of free agency, Jaguar football. We got new mock drafts out. Miles Jack and his UCLA Bruin teammates have their pro days today. Don't care so much about the teammates. Care about Miles Jack.
No doubt.
That's the number 5 pick in the draft right there for you. Do you want him to be exceptional today, Tony? Or do you want him to be just pretty good? Right? You know what I'm saying? I want the knee to look good, but I don't want him to look so good that Dallas sees him as a can't-pass-up type player or some other team in the top 4 of the draft right now. So we'll talk about that as we go along today as well. I've come up with my plan tonight to follow along with UNF and Florida basketball with the 9 o'clock tip. Here's what I've got. 1010XL's own Lauren Brooks, star of Helmets and Heels, and the director of marketing for UNF Athletics. I'm sure she will not mind me, I don't know, calling and or texting her every 5 to 7 minutes for a fresh update.
Oh, I doubt it.
You think that'd be fine with her?
I'm sure you couldn't get that on the internet.
No. I want it from Lauren because Lauren's going to give you a little flavor of the event. She's going to tell me some interesting anecdotes of what's happening in the building. And so that's going to be my pipeline. By the way, are we carrying the game tonight, Tyra? What's the broadcast?
Oh, yeah. On both networks. Superstation's carrying it. Yeah.
So that's a 9 o'clock tip, right? So do we get the full complement of Tuesday night programming in tonight? Do we get Helmets and Heels and Fat Tuesday?
No. I am off tonight.
You're off tonight.
And I think the Helmets and Heels runs till 8:30.
Extended.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No.
In lieu of the show.
Vanderbilt's playing in a play-in game.
No.
I'm sitting there wearing my Vanderbilt gear. No.
No, I'm not going to. Can I call you for Vandy updates?
Yeah. But I won't answer you.
I know
during the game.
You never answer your phone anyway, so what difference does it make? All right, let's take a timeout. Let's get things started here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank. Let's talk some Jaguar football for the next 2 hours at 641-1010. You can also text us at that number. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Super Tuesday, baby. Got to vote. You got to put stylus. What would it be? You got to put cursor to dialogue box.
What are you talking about?
Instead of putting pen to paper. Pen to paper when you vote on this process.
I was like, where are you going with
that? That's where I'm going with this. So what would be the proper terminology when we vote today on Jaguars today on this very, very Super Tuesday? Jags haven't given up on Kelvin Beachum, but he's got other things, other irons in the fire, so we'll see where that whole thing ends up, Tony. So free agency still ongoing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, although certainly slowing down a good deal at this point in time. But I don't know if there were a few people that were emailing me last week and tweeting me saying, hey, Kelvin Beachum, is he on the radar? Should he be on the radar? Well, certainly he was on the radar, just not in that first wave. You don't find left tackles or guys that can play left tackle or have proven to be able to play left tackle plus the age very often, you know, in that mid-20s, and that's because he's coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. I mean, guys come off torn ACLs and come back. Again, he's 26 years old. I know the Jags have not stopped their pursuit of Kelvin Beachum, but nothing really new to report on that front, so we'll keep an eye on it.
No, I mean, he went home yesterday. The Jags were reportedly outside the plane, continuing the conversation as he was getting ready to take off from Jacksonville here to go back to Pittsburgh, and they're still in it. Based on what we've heard, they're still in it. They're still talking to Kelvin Beachum. We'll see if they get anything done with the guy. And look, we talked a lot about yesterday about what he would be coming in to do. And is Kelvin Beachum going to be a guy that's willing to come in and basically not be handed a starting job at 26 years old? He had a really good year a couple years ago, and I think that may be what he's trying to figure out right now. if there are a couple teams talking to him, including the Jags, just what is the opportunity that he's going to get in these couple of spots?
You know what? I think not all competitions are created equally, right? Like, you go into a circumstance. I don't think anyone is signing Kelvin Beachum coming off a torn ACL and handing him the left tackle position, right? I think there will be teams that say you can absolutely compete for this job. We all know every team likes to stress competition, right? Next man up and that whole thing. But we also understand the realities of the politics of sports that, you know, high draft picks, guys that have big contracts, guys that you have a lot invested in are going to get the edge over newcomers to the scene a lot of the time. And so, well, yes, there's going to be a competition. It's not one that you can necessarily win 51-49%. You might have to win that 60-40 convincingly because they have a desire, an organization has a desire for a certain player to succeed, so you've got to win it so clear cut. So not every competition is the same. I'm not trying to categorize where the Jags would be in that competition. That's something Kelvin Beachum has to get a feel for. The other teams that express interest in him, what are they telling him about his chance to come in and what kind of tone and body language and all those things? And, Tony, does he ultimately say, you know, none of these situations are ideal? Maybe I'll sit back. Injuries occur, whether it's OTAs, training camp, whatever. Maybe I can walk into a much more favorable situation where I'm more in demand, maybe squeeze a few more dollars out, give myself a chance to rehab even further. You know, it might be the way he ends up going.
Sure, and look, I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today because I still believe it. If Kelvin Beachum signs here, it's because he's been told he can compete for the left tackle job. I don't think Beachum's signing anywhere where he's not going to at least be given the chance to be the starting left tackle for whatever team he signs for. I just think 26 years old, as good as he was a couple years ago, I get that he's coming off the ACL, and it's probably the only reason that he's not signed yet is the ACL, and it may be the only reason that he's getting out of Pittsburgh is that ACL. But wherever he goes, it's going to be because he's going to be given an opportunity to at least win the job at left tackle, and that includes here in Jacksonville. Whatever they've had to say about Luke Jokel, if Beachum gets signed here, they're going to compete for the left tackle spot.
Right.
I believe it.
No, I think you're probably right, though, when all things considered. You know, and as I was looking at his profile, I think I got caught up in the 16 games that he started 2 years ago, you know, and you got to look a little bit deeper than that. He did start 12 games the year prior to that, and he started, what was it, six games last year before getting hurt.
Six before the ACL.
It wasn't like he was just a one-year kind of that they viewed flash-in-the-pan guy that they played due to injury. He was the projected starter going forward, but you also have to question, Tony, as we talked about, that's a commodity, 26-year-old guy with left tackle experience where a number of outlets rated him as a top 10 tackle in the league. Why aren't the Steelers doing more to retain this guy?
Don't know.
I mean, we don't know, but that's a question that you have to ask. And anytime you see this kind of situation, do they know more about his injury than other teams do? Well, certainly you would expect that they know more about it, but do they know something that eliminates him from consideration, or at least eliminates him from consideration at the contract level that he's looking for right now? None of that is immediately evident, but we'll find out as we go along. Let's turn our attention to a couple of mock drafts. A trio of mock drafts came out yesterday from some of the regulars that we take a look at, including a couple of guys with NFL Draft Scout / CBSSports.com, Rob Rang and Dane Brugler. They had the identical top five in the entire draft. They still have Carson Wentz locked in there at the number two spot, but at the top for the Tennessee Titans, no change there. Laremy Tunsil is coming off the board despite some rumors that Jalen Ramsey may be the guy that tops their draft board right now. Tough to take a safety over a left tackle, right? When you have a need at tackle, I know they have Taylor Lewan there, but the thought is you draft Tunsil, you flip Lewan to right tackle, and you're improving your two key bookend positions on the offensive line. It's tough for me to believe that a safety / cornerback, whatever they envision Ramsey being, would go number one over a guy like Laremy Tunsil, at least to me. And I get it. Left tackles aren't always as safe as the anecdotal evidence indicates. I still think it's an easier position. I think Laremy Tunsil has been a guy that's been projected as a top-of-the-draft guy basically since he came into college football at Ole Miss. If he fulfilled his potential, this is where you could see this guy ultimately going. So they've got Tunsil going number one, and I don't think it's a surprise. And I still think he's the odds-on betting favorite.
I'd be surprised if Tunsil went in the pick. If Tennessee
winds up... If they own the pick.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Tunsil wouldn't pick. It just makes too much sense. He's a guy that if you have Ramsey at the top of your board, if you have somebody else that you think is a better football player, then maybe there's a consideration there. But you are talking about a potential left tackle, an anchor on that side of the line of scrimmage. You drafted Marcus Mariota last year, and he got hurt because your offensive line stinks. So you got to do something to help that guy out. You bring in DeMarco Murray, trade for him this offseason and try to give yourself a little bit more of a running game. Well, then keep trying to help that offense. It makes a lot of sense to me as opposed to, again, I get that Ramsey is a talented guy, but a safety with the number one pick in the draft. I mean, I don't think Mularkey is long for Tennessee no matter what happens because I just don't think they're going to be very good
right
in 2016. But, woo. You talk about opening the door to get it slammed on you quickly. Safety at number one, and my question would be if a general manager in Tennessee is going to allow that kind of thing.
Right, safety at number one with a potential franchise left tackle on the board who apparently wowed it, at least in his positional workouts at the combine. You know, do you really care all that much what Laramie Tunsil runs in the 40?
Nope.
I don't know what, you know, if you ran a 5-1, what is that going to do? They're going to say, wow, he really doesn't move as well as we saw him move in those positional drills. I don't get it. Does the tape not indicate that he can handle these defensive ends that he was facing in college? I don't know. But Carson Wentz, the pick from both of those guys to go to Cleveland, which, again, we continue to hope happens. At least two quarterbacks would be ideal because then the Jags have some options with the fifth pick in the draft, at least the guys that we're focused in on right now. Try as we might, Dave Caldwell will not give us his short list of five players.
No, he won't.
So we'll keep asking, but probably the day after the draft, we'll get that short list of five players. Maybe not even then. Jalen Ramsey going to the Chargers makes sense. Eric Weddle just signed yesterday with the pretty nice deal, $13 million guaranteed, I think he got with the Baltimore Ravens. It is interesting. Baltimore's been a traditionally competitive team in the Ozzie Newsome reign with John Harbaugh as the head coach year in, year out, and they faced a lot of injuries last year, none bigger than the ACL injury suffered by Joe Flacco. But you had, you know, all your offensive skill position guys, your key guys were hurt last year. Steve Smith, Justin Forsett got hurt. Flacco, obviously. Rashad Perryman, who they drafted in the first round, never got on the field out of UCF. So it was a very disappointing year, but I find it interesting that Weddle wants to play for a contender. They've been a contender. I'm sure he's looking at them saying they can bounce back, and they're an organization that does things the right way, and that's going to keep them in contention annually. But right now, there are a lot better teams based on just 2015 that you could assign with if you're Eric Weddle.
No doubt about it. And look, as beat up as they were on offense, they were also just a bad wide receiver core. Just bad. Even healthy, it was a bad group at that position on the offense. And Joe Flacco, as good as he's been in his NFL career, wasn't good enough to overcome that while he was healthy. They were bad offensively, and it's not just that they lost Forsett. They didn't have the answers on that side of the ball last year, and they need to figure out how to get him. They bring in Weddle. That's a good signing for Baltimore, and it makes some sense for him if he's looking to go to a contender. Baltimore's, like you said, been a contender, but I think they got serious issues on that offensive side of the ball. They're losing Asimile on the offensive line. That can't help you when you're dealing with some of these other issues as well. I think they have big question marks to try to answer on offense.
Right now, again, top three, Tunsil, Wentz, Ramsey. We talked about Weddle going to Baltimore. Joey Bosa, the selection according to the mock drafts, going to the Dallas Cowboys, which would leave the Jaguars with Miles Jack, which I think would make right now, just based on the small sample size we have, social media feedback would make a lot of people happy, I think, in Jacksonville. I think a lot of people would be eager to have him on board today. Again, Miles Jack's pro day takes place later today out in Southern California. Meanwhile, Daniel Jeremiah did a update his fourth mock draft of the silly season right now. He put this out yesterday afternoon. And unlike most of the mocks out there, he does not have a quarterback going in the top five of the draft. Yet still, things work out for the Jaguars, at least from our perspective. Tunsil goes number one. He's got Jalen Ramsey going to the Browns at number two. DeForest Buckner, then, out of Oregon, who is maybe the best 3-4 defensive lineman in the draft, going to the San Diego Chargers. So he has them opting for the big body with Ramsey off the board. Bosa to the Cowboys as, you know, they lose Greg Hardy. They've got Randy Gregory's suspension to deal with. You know, so Dallas does need pass rush. And while the Jag, look, we may be sitting here a year from now saying, man, we got hosed. Joey Bosa slipped one pick in front of the Jaguars after, you know, a year of being the presumptive top pass rusher in the draft. We then turned on him in favor of Miles Jack. I don't think it's going to go that way, but it could. But he's got Jack available to the Jaguars and not letting the Jags not letting Jack get past. So all three of the newest mock drafts out there from the major sites all have Miles Jack out of UCLA to your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and obviously, I love Miles Jack, but just the athleticism that he would add to this team, and we've been talking about that now for 3-4 years, that they need to get fast. They need to get fast. They need to get fast. They need to get more athletic on the defensive side of the ball. Well, there it is. And I don't know how much faster you're getting if you get Joey Bosa. I think you are getting faster with Jalen Ramsey, but it feels like they signed a free safety. They signed a cornerback. I don't necessarily think that means that they won't draft Jalen Ramsey if he's available to him at 5. But there is still this gaping need at, to me, pass rush and linebacker. And Miles Jack is the type of guy that can play all three of your linebacker spots. I do think he can play auto. I think he's plenty big enough to play auto and plenty physical enough to play the auto if that's what you want him to do on first and second down. And then get Paul Posluszny off the field on third down and let him be the linebacker there with Telvin Smith. I think that makes all the sense in the world to me, and that gets speed on the field for this defense, which is not something they have nearly enough of right
and
now.
And then what you laid out is like a one-year plan, which may ultimately result a year from now in Paul Posluszny having played his last football in Jacksonville, yeah. Miles Jack being a long-term answer with speed, with coverage ability, with the complete package a la Luke Kuechly at the middle linebacker position. So, you know, some of the reasons why we're very high on that prospect right now. Speaking of prospects, Prince Amukamara projects to be a starting cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. He joined Frank Frangie and crew yesterday. We'll hear some of what he had to say as he is now on a one-year contract, prove-it-to-me kind of contract, which has worked out at times for the Jags in the past, most recently and notably with Sen'Derek Marks as he earned a second deal with the Jags. Maybe Prince Amukamara will follow in those footsteps as well. If you'd like to vote on today's poll question brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, it asks you to rank the current top five players on the Jaguars roster. Now that the initial wave of free agency is done, guys like Malik Jackson, Chris Ivory, Tayshaun Gibson, Prince Amukamara, they're all up for consideration along with the holdovers from last year. Who are currently the five best players on this football team? Got to believe Allen Robinson is a unanimous selection. I don't know if anyone else is going to be completely unanimous, and that's probably a good thing because I think the Jags have a number of worthwhile candidates to choose from when you do your voting today. Happy Super Tuesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We'll come back here from Prince Amukamara next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Ah, well done. Well played, sir. Tyler Devitt spinning the hits today. He's got plenty of time, Tony, since he won't be tied up at the voting booth.
Apparently not.
Today, it's the curse of the millennials. It's the way he is.
Are you planning to get registered between now and the actual presidential election?
Does it That's do me any good?
Now. It would allow you to vote.
Oh, well, so of course it allowed me to vote, but I wasn't sure if there was a certain deadline I already missed or not.
You could probably go register. I don't know how long the process takes. Probably a few days, maybe, I guess. Maybe. I don't even know if that. I think you're automatically registered if you were like if you had a driver's license. Is that not the case? You have to do something extra on top of that?
I don't remember.
Dean, I turn to Joe Fortunato.
It's the most recent for me, and I don't remember.
I've been registered to vote since the early 90s. So I guess it just like rolls over every year. Do you automatically get registered if you get a driver's license? I really don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer. You say no?
I say no.
He says no to that.
Do something. I don't know what
to do. he did. Joe Fortunato, for those who can't hear him because he speaks off mic, he says you do have to do something, but he does not know what that is. All right, but he is pretty sure it doesn't mean get a driver's license. He did it once way back in his day. I guess he just keeps showing up every year, and he'll keep showing up until
29 days before an election.
You have to do it 29 days. All right, so you know you have plenty of time.
Yeah,
plenty of time. We never procrastinate on these kind of things, do we? It's our goal to have Tyler take
you can do it by mail.
The democratic process this year. Like mail?
Yeah.
Like old school mail?
Yeah. You may be able to do it online.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
I'm not asking him to, like, go down to somewhere and get registered because that's not going to happen with Tyler. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
That's a lot of effort.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I understand. I understand. What you're how old now, Tyler?
23.
23.
Oh, yeah.
Prime alert.
How has this not happened already?
Is it because he's a young guy who doesn't care about the process?
Well, think about it. The last time we had a presidential election, I was probably 19, drunk in a dorm room somewhere. So
You were definitely drunk in a dorm room.
But eligible to vote.
Who did Indiana go for last time around?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I think we went Romney.
Red state? Red state Romney?
I believe so.
All right. There you have it. Tyler Devitt's a Republican. We just lumped him in with the rest of Indiana. We're not even sure Indiana went for Romney. And now Tyler's a Republican. All right, let's hear
from
Prince.
I'm very uninformed. I apologize.
It's okay. We're glad you are because it makes for good Super Tuesday radio fodder.
Heck. In Florida, you could pre-register to vote at 16.
Pre-register?
Yeah. So that they'll
and
just
so
send
you just
have your to
wait
ID.
Around in 2 years,
at
you just
18,
wait around.
Yeah.
And there it is. Boy, you've got to be eager for that. Were you one of those guys, Mr. Eager Tony?
I don't remember.
At your mock trial or whatever you were doing?
I know, Congress? Whenever the first time I could vote was, I voted. I could tell you that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember the first one person I wanted to vote for. See if Fortunato knows who this is. Joe, do you remember who the third party candidate was in 1980? That was the Reagan-Carter...
Hang on, I have to take out my hermetically sealed microphone.
Yes. Well, welcome into Biodome 6. We're glad you're with us this morning. There's a lot of things covered in plastic still in the 1010, or the Jaguars Today studios here.
Why does Ross Perot come to mind?
No, that's 92, man. Okay. John Anderson, you remember?
Okay, sure.
You remember that guy? Yeah. I watched like a pre-Ross Perot infomercial that John Anderson did. Couldn't tell you what any of his positions were. But this is back, you know, Joe, back in the day when we walked 10 miles uphill to school both ways, when you had truly 3 to 4 channels, if you're lucky enough to have a PBS affiliate close by, right? So you had very little to choose from. And I remember watching like a 30-minute, I guess he bought a 30-minute block of time instead of buying a bunch of commercials, or maybe it was an hour to explain his positions on the issues. And I was fired up. And unfortunately, I was only like 12 at the time, so I was not eligible to pre-register to vote at that period of time. So I missed out on all the fun with the 1980 presidential election. I'm sure I would have swung the tide because it was a close one, as I recall, with Reagan. Reagan always won those squeakers, didn't he, back in the day?
It wasn't a complete landslide or anything.
No.
Apparently, you can print out this voter registration form application and take it to... any driver's license office.
I thought you were going to say any participating Applebee's.
No, a voter registration agency, whatever that is, an armed forces recruitment office. You can take it to those or any public library.
Be careful on that. They're tricking you on that other
right,
one.
Right. You can fill out this application and go to any library and they will mail you your registration.
This is true. Public libraries.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really not that difficult, Tyler.
Well, I mean, when's the last time Tyler's been in the library, Tony? I mean,
that's probably true.
Seriously, are you kidding me?
I can't even remember.
It probably wasn't even college, if I'm guessing correctly.
Middle school, maybe? I don't know.
Man, right. At some point, you had to do like a book report or something like that.
So sad.
Yeah, it is so sad.
I get that I'm a bit of a nerd. Like, I'm in the library at least twice a month.
Are you, sir? You are a big library.
Love it.
The only reason I go to the library these days is to occasionally check out a movie because they're free at the library.
I don't ever get movies. I'm a book reader.
I'm a book reader too, but I usually just buy a book if it looks good. I've slowed down to the book reader. I used to be a voracious book reader. Not anymore. Now just I'm an internet blog reader. That's kind of replaced my books at this point in time. And I'm telling you, I tried to get into. I read 2 chapters of Lisa Ann's new book.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten into it. You know, just kind of hit the wall. I read like 2/3 of that. The one that James Franco's in, the Hulu show about JFK.
11/22/63.
Yes,
it was really good.
Stephen King. Right, I got like 2/3 into it, and it was very good. And then I got distracted and put it down, and it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I'm not sure if I left the bookmark in either, so I'd have to figure out what page I left off on. So I'm not exactly consuming the books at a rapid rate these days. Let's hear from Prince and Wukamara, shall we? On Super Tuesday, Prince on with Frank Frangie and company yesterday on 1010XL talked about why he chose Jacksonville.
It just seemed like the best situation, just with my skill set. They play a lot of single high, a lot of bump around, a lot of man coverage, and I feel like that fits the skill set, and I want to be a part of something that's on the rise. I think a lot of people are starting to talk about Jacksonville, and that's something to be excited about.
Yeah, it's good to hear these guys that are coming in are echoing those same kind of sentiments, talking about the conversation about the Jags around the league. Prince Amukamara on with Frank and Rick yesterday also talked about Jacksonville versus the Big Apple, New York City, and the difference between the two in his mind.
This is no knock by any means, but I would say just a little bit more quieter. I know there's not going to be 20 to 30 media guys in the locker room like how it is in New York City. And and I feel like it's just going to be a lot more team-oriented, meaning like there's a lot of stuff going on in New York, so a lot of events. So me and my wife, we'd always like go to those, but I think and I don't know if that's how it is in Jacksonville. I'm just guessing it's not, but that's going to just force us to hang out with the wives and guys on the team a lot more. And we're pretty much, we're pretty much like homebodies. So that fits right into us.
All right. Prince Wukamara again yesterday on the Frank Frangie show here on 1010XL talked about the potential now with the few new pieces being added to what they already had and what the Jaguars defense has.
It's hard to make a prediction, but I think there's a lot of superstars and growing superstars on this defense. And I feel like from what I've watched this year, I feel like pass rush is huge. From watching the Broncos and the havoc that they created, I think pass rush is huge. And with Dante Fowler coming back and Malik Jackson and Aldrick and Sendarek, I think when you have guys that can go after the quarterback, I think that makes our job a lot easier in the back end. So it's going to be great to see how we all work together. And that's what the off season's for, is to build that chemistry and get used to playing with each other.
It is definitely political season, Tony, as Prince Wukamara explains how many superstars and potential superstars on the Jaguars' defense right now. On the latter category, perhaps. Let's hope that's the case. I don't know if does Malik Jackson qualify as a superstar? He got a big contract. Is Tayshaun Gibson a superstar? I don't know if there are any superstars on the Jags' defense, but hopefully they'll be much improved. We'll hear more from Prince Wukamara coming up shortly. We've got This State in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL right around the corner with some big stories involving the league going on in the last 24 hours. We'll get to all that coming up in a few moments. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Let's start with this date, the Ides of March. March 15th, 1988, the NFL's St. Louis Cardinals officially packed their bags and hit the road to Phoenix, Arizona. They now play officially in Glendale, Arizona, but the St. Louis Cardinals became the Phoenix Cardinals and later would become the Arizona Cardinals, and that happened on this date in 1988. Famous birthdays for this date go back to 1926. Norm Van Brocklin, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback, nine-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame inductee in 1971, passed away in 1983 at the age of 57 years old. He was born on this date in 1926. Clay Matthews, the first Clay Matthews, played until he was 40 years old. Clay Matthews, the third right now, is the linebacker with the Green Bay Packers. And Clay Matthews, the original, a four-time Pro Bowler, turned 60 years old today. Other birthdays for this date include 1987, Eric Decker turns 29 years old. Tavon Austin, born in the state in 1991. He is 25. And Devontae Freeman, the former Florida State Seminole turned Atlanta Falcon, made his first Pro Bowl this year. He was born in the state in 1992. So there you have it. This state in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway, a certified Invisalign provider. If you've got a snore in your family, maybe it's you, the Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard can help you with that problem. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the NFL has finally acknowledged what everyone else has known for quite a while now. Jeff Miller, the NFL's highest-ranking safety officer, admitted yesterday to the link between playing football and CTE at a United States House of Representatives Committee on Energy and Commerce meeting. At this point, CTE can only be diagnosed after death. The admission on the NFL's part comes just weeks after a Super Bowl press conference where they denied there being any link between the two. Dr. Ann McKee had the following to say yesterday during the meeting. Quote, I unequivocally think that there's a link between playing football and CTE. We've seen it in 90 of 94 NFL players whose brains we've examined. We found it in 45 out of 55 college players and 6 out of 26 high school players. No, I don't think this represents how common this disease is in the living population, but the fact that over 5 years I've been able to accumulate the number of cases in football players, it cannot be rare. In fact, I think we are going to be surprised at how common it is. Keep in mind, they can only examine the brains again after they are dead. So you're talking about college players that have died, high school players that have died, that she's had the opportunity to examine. The UCLA Pro Day is today. Linebacker Miles Jack was medically cleared as expected on March 11th, which means that he will be fully participating in a workout in front of NFL decision makers and scouts for the first time in this draft process. Jack, at this point, is considered a solid top five prospect. And 29-year-old defensive tackle B.J. Raji has decided to at least take a one-year hiatus. Raji is an unrestricted free agent, but has reportedly been offered a contract by the Green Bay Packers. He has decided to take at least a year off. He is not calling this hiatus a retirement at this point, so he could potentially return in 2017.
That may be going to become more prevalent, right? With Anthony Davis doing that and talking about last year, he was only 25 years old, retired the offensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers, said he may be back. In fact, I think I read something this offseason that he may even try to return at some point this year. But you wonder if that's just, you know, these guys make enough money, Tony. It's not, if you're well established, you should have, B.J. Raji should have all the money he's going to need. A year off, can it hurt you? It can, but it may be just what the doctor ordered in some cases to give these guys a chance to get off their feet, not have the pounding, the wear and tear. Adrian Peterson came back after basically a year off and led the league in rushing. So he talked about how good his body felt. So maybe this will be more of a trend for guys when they hit a certain age. I don't think it's ever going to be super widespread, but another option, at least.
Yeah, and it makes sense at the time for Raji, too. He's a free agent. So it's not like he's bailing on Green
right.
Bay.
And he'll come back and be a free agent when he returns.
Right, so that makes more sense. The Davis thing felt like it hurt, right? Because San Francisco can't possibly anticipate that at 25 years old.
No.
He's going to just walk away. That hurts them. I think Raji's doing it more the way that if players want to do this in the future, I'd rather see them do it this way. But with how much power the league and owners and teams have over the future of these players, do whatever you want to do. And I'm not going to blame you too awful much for doing it. If it happens in Jacksonville, I'll probably change my tune on that. I'll probably be critical of that guy. But honestly, with as little power and as little guaranteed money as they get compared to the other sports, if you feel like you need to walk away, walk away. And I'm not going to be too hypercritical.
It's your life, yeah. Man. I mean, I don't have an issue with Calvin Johnson retiring. That's his legacy.
It's his
life.
Yeah.
You know, do you live your life for a legacy or do you live your life to live your life, right? Your legacy, I think, is your family, your children, and what you leave behind. And it's not how many catches you had or how many yards you piled up in your chosen profession. Well, at least that's not the way I look at it. But and then you had the one medical expert, I think it was a lady, I can't remember her name, that you quoted saying...
Ann McKee.
Yes, what was the quote? This is going to become more prevalent or something? Or we'll be surprised at how prevalent this
becomes? In fact, I think we are going to be surprised at how common it is.
You know what? The only reason we're going to be surprised is because you keep denying there's a connection, okay?
Yeah.
Anyone who pays attention shouldn't be surprised. Look at those numbers, Tony. Those are overwhelming. Give those statistics again. These are brains of football players that have passed away in a variety of manners, okay? Professional, collegiate, and high school players, different
yep.
levels. And this is the percent or the number in X amount of examples of how many of these brains were found to have chronic traumatic encephalopathy. This is not something you naturally develop. This is something that they believe occurs through repeated concussive type blows or even subconcussive, you know, smaller impact blows that accumulate over time. Give us those numbers again, please.
It was 90 out of 94 NFL players whose brains she had an opportunity to examine.
So over 90%.
Uh-huh. Okay. 45 of 55 college players.
Okay.
And 6 out of 26 high school players.
6 out of 26. So it does, what it indicates to me is obviously the more accumulation of these kind of hits, because a professional player's played high school and collegiate football, they're 90 out of 94%.
Sure. It also means that there is some percentage of football players that are playing with CTE from high school on.
Yes, right, that have it already, and they're dealing with that, which can cause all kinds of issues, cognitive issues for you. I saw a story on FoxSports.com on this, you know, this issue, because you had the official under oath yesterday saying certainly there is a link between CTE and playing football. And there's an NFL spokesperson who was under oath in this case, just, again, less than 2 months removed from an NFL spokesperson at the Super Bowl denying that there was any link between CTE and playing football. So the poll at Fox Sports, you've seen these before, with the information that continues to come out on the dangers of football and what it can present to you, would you feel comfortable with your child playing football? Now, it doesn't say professional football. It just says playing football. What do you think the results are in the polling right now?
I mean, my guess would be there's still a majority that would be comfortable with it.
So give me a range. What are you looking at? Is it like 75-25 or?
I would probably say 60-40.
55-45 against. Now, again, this is just one poll, and the kind of people that may read this story
sure.
may be people that are already more inclined to be negative towards the NFL or football or whatever the case may be. But I think you're going to see, I mean, Tony, this is an issue. We're seeing players, professional players, start to question whether it's worth it. Chris Borland walking away after 1 year in the league last year.
And it's why the NFL denied it as long as they did. They denied the link with it between the two as long as they possibly could, because while they weren't the ones coming out and saying that, you know, these people that are complaining about these kinds of things with our former football players, they're trying to defeat the game. They're trying to break the game. They're trying to wussify the game of football, basically. Like, they didn't put that out there, but they also probably were smiling when it was put out there by fans, when people, these families and fans of the game that were dealing with these issues were reacting the way they were reacting, instead of just acknowledging that it was happening, because they feared this. They feared that at some point, if the boogeyman gets a name from an NFL perspective, then there will be, you know, families that say, I just don't want my kid playing it.
Right.
And look, they should be informed. Like, your fear for what it means for the future of your game, which in the end, I don't think it's going to permanently affect the future of football. I think there are enough people that want to play football, and whether it's they wait till high school to allow their kids to play it or whatever, and they feel like they are more physically developed, which I wouldn't have an issue with. And that's probably where I would land on it if I had kids. If they wanted to play, I was going to let them play. And if to me it says, okay, I'm not going to let them play till I feel like they are physically mature enough to handle it and try to get them trained the right way. It's the NFL denied, and it feels like they've probably known that this was an issue for 20, 25 years. And instead, it took 2 months after a guy at the Super Bowl again said, nope, no link between the two, to a guy being put under oath saying, oh, yeah, there's certainly a link between the two things.
Right. And I don't think the oath part is coincidental.
No.
Right? Because ultimately that can come back to haunt them in a big way.
It's the frustration of the whole story.
Did you guys catch?
Everyone knew.
Did you guys catch Eugene Monroe's rant kind of about CTE this morning on Twitter?
I heard Dan mention it. I didn't get the gist of what
was more about weed.
Yeah, long story
That's
short.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, pretty much long story short, after the CTE thing came out yesterday, he was advocating for a lot of marijuana research. One of the tweets that got a lot of play on Twitter was Eugene Monroe said, "If I'm a fan, I'm pissed at the time I wasted listening to Goodell lie to me at the Super Bowl. As a player, I sure am." And he kind of posted about a non-for-profit called Realm of Caring, which is supposed to be like a cannabinoid therapy for players in the NFL. And he's trying to get this movement started by having players, instead of going to Miami and spending $30,000, donate to this organization to kind of help players currently in the NFL with therapy.
Look, it's heading in that direction, okay? Marijuana is going to be legal, whether you like it or not, in the vast majority of states in the United States sometime in the next 20 years. That's my belief, okay? And at a certain point in time, does that mean it will absolutely be legal in the National Football League?
No, because Josh Gordon got suspended because he had a drink on a plane.
Right, but that was as a result being in the program for
so
drugs.
So weed, even if it's legalized, may still be treated the same way.
There's always going to be a drug program, okay, in the National Football League, but will it always include marijuana on the same level as some other drugs? I don't believe it will, but change takes time. And I think there's going to be a point in time when we look back and say, wow, a reefer madness really started the demonization of something that is what a lot of people feel no different than alcohol, other than the hypocrisy that people talk about one compared to the other. And regardless, Eugene Monroe is probably not the only guy who wishes the NFL would open their mind. Matter of fact, I guarantee he's not the only guy who feels that way about the situation. But I tell you, for me, I'm glad my son has not expressed the desire to play football. I'll be honest with you. I mean, look, I don't know if he came to me and said, "Dad, I want to play tackle football starting this year." I don't know what my reaction would be. But I know him, and I know that's not really where his interests lie, so I'm not really concerned about having that conversation.
I think your reaction should be call Donovan Darius to teach him how to tackle.
That would be part of it, right? I mean, but, you know, here's the thing, Tony. You get guys that are that get taught the proper way to do it. What about the kid who isn't doing it the proper way?
Oh, I hear you.
And he hits you in the side of the helmet. You know what I mean? So you can protect yourself up to a certain point. I don't think you can protect yourself completely, and that's life, right? You can't protect yourself against everything in life. I'm not saying they should ban football or outlaw it. Hell, I love football. Are you kidding me? I don't know if I'd love it for my son. I'm just being honest with you. You know, that's just how I feel. And for me, I don't have that issue because that's not what he's inclined towards. So.
Sure. And I know every time these stories come up, I try to think back and figure out how many concussions I've probably had. Right? When you hear the stories about when you get your bell rung, when you get that little buzz in your head that you may have had a possible concussion, I don't know how many times I've felt that. Right? I really don't know how many times I've felt that. It was virtually every time I ever played tackle football anywhere. At some point in time, I didn't feel like I was playing until I felt that buzz going through my body. Like, I really didn't. And I look back and think, what was I really physically doing to myself? I don't know.
Probably not a whole lot of good.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I don't know. I had fun. I still enjoy playing.
I look back and think, could I have taken it a little easier on my knees over the years? Probably, but I wouldn't have enjoyed my life as much had I done that. You know, you make your choices.
I know I've been knocked out twice.
I don't think it's bad.
I know
bad.
That for a fact.
Look, I don't think any parent's bad if they let their kid play football.
As long as
they try to do it in the most, you know, responsible way possible. Teach your kids the proper technique. Make sure they're with a coach who respects that.
Sure.
You know, and tries to reinforce those techniques as well.
Kids should play football, but there also shouldn't be this villainizing of people that are saying this is real.
I agree with you.
Like, that side of it's the part that bothers me as much as anything.
All right, we got to step aside, and when we return, more from Prince Mukamara, plus Heath Evans, former NFL fullback turned analyst, weighs in on the free agent spending spree of last week, including some particulars about your Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll go to the text line. Got a lot of interesting texts on a variety of subjects this morning at 641-1010. And we'll continue to take your votes for the top five current Jacksonville Jaguars. Who are the top five players currently on the roster now that the free agent class has mostly been signed for the Jags? What they're going to do, at least in terms of the heavy lifting this offseason in free agency, is already, for the most part, accomplished. Who are the top five players currently currently on that Jaguar roster. Tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Deontay the Bronze Bummer Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and you're listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Probably better go with the boxing champions for our little IDs rather than the MMA types. They seem to be taking it on the chin lately.
They do.
Not holding the crown as long as they used to.
You want to talk about a sport that causes CTE.
Right? And somebody,
they just don't have a players union or anyone looking out for them.
Oh, of course they. I mean, any blows to the head can cause CTE. It doesn't have to come from football. Somebody texts in, Tony, at 641-1010. About the NFL, but they need to check the percentage of people that don't play football in the same age group. We're talking about, you know, the percent that said 90 out of 94 former NFL players that whose brains they studied were found to have CTE, an incredibly high percentage. So this person is going to, well, what about just the population at large who don't play football as a control? I'm sure they'll do those studies or have done those studies. My belief is these numbers are so staggering that I don't think that 90-plus percent of people walking around at age 50 or older have CTE. Now, you get in, you know, certainly you have dementia and different things that people have, sure, as they get up to an advanced age. I don't think that percentage of the population is nearly as high that has this. That's my guess. I don't know the exact numbers. In fact, I don't think it would even be close. This person goes, we don't know how easy it is to get. You could crash your bike a few times. Boxing, motocross, certainly. All those things are possible. It's my belief probably that former NFL players were not into boxing and motocross, right? They didn't have time. They were playing football. They played football in high school,
sure,
played football in college.
There are obviously other sports or things that could probably cause CTE. We're
right,
not really sure what it is yet, except that it's got something to do with head injuries.
Right. It's nothing specific to a helmet hitting another helmet. It's trauma to the brain. It's chronic traumatic,
yeah,
encephalopathy.
I mean, concussion studies have shown that soccer has a pretty high concussion rate, and it's actually, according to some studies, higher than football.
Because, well, you're unprotected, and it comes, I think, primarily from, you know, two players going up to head the,
yep,
same ball, right? And the headers themselves could probably contribute to it, actually. I wouldn't doubt, but it's heads knocking against each other that causes most soccer concussions. At least that's what the studies will tell you. A couple of things as well. Andre Branch, former Jaguar now, I think it's safe to say, is visiting with the Dolphins tonight and tomorrow. He'll be in Miami after they elected to visit with Chris Clemens first. How bad does it have to be Andre Branch to have them say, hey, Chris Clemens seems like a more desirable option,
oh,
right,
goodness,
now? Let's bring in all the former Jags that couldn't get,
he's
to the
solid
quarterback in Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Andre, hold on. Wait, we're going to visit with Chris first here and see if he fits us better.
Right.
At, what is Chris Clemens now? Is he 34? How old is Clemens?
Is he 34? I thought he may have been 33. He's old.
He might. He's old in football terms.
He's 34, he's turns 35 in October.
Is that right? So there you go, 34 and a half years old for Chris Clemens. Let's get back. We wanted to finish up with Prince of Mukamara, who was on with Frank Franchi and company yesterday here on 1010XL. And so we'll wrap up a few thoughts there. And then we wanted to play for you with Heath Evans, who's become an analyst of the National Football League after his playing days are now over, had to say about the recent wave of free agency, including specifically about Malik Jackson signing here in Jacksonville. We'll start with this. Prince of Mukamara on the Frank Franchi Show yesterday on 1010XL. Speaking of injuries, talking about the injuries in his past and how they have frustrated him.
It's tough. I mean, just being a competitor, you always want to be out there and guard the best guy, and you always want to be out there to help your team win. And when you're not out there because of injuries that you can't really control, I mean, it gets frustrating, and you try to figure out what's wrong. So for me, like, try to change my eating habits, try to lift a little bit more, try to get more massages, try to do yoga, acupuncture, and just try to figure stuff out. And sometimes things are just inevitable. I mean, I remember my coach in New York said that injuries is guaranteed. There's 100% injury rate in football. It's not about if it's going to happen, it's about when. And so just after hearing that, I'm still going to try to continue to stay strong in the weight room and stay on top of stay on top of my body.
He's got a one-year prove-it deal here in Jacksonville, and maybe his future lies as a cornerback with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe it doesn't. He's a talented guy when he's been on the football field. One last comment here from Prince Amukamara yesterday with Frank and Rick on the Frangie Show. Prince talked about the upcoming season, saying he's ready to show a good example of winning culture here in Jacksonville.
The best thing we can do is just demonstrate and show by example. I mean, Malik's coming off a fresh Super Bowl win, and I'm sure he knows what the culture and the locker room looked like and how practice went. But after talking to Coach Bradley, it seems like he got it down. I mean, I feel like Jacksonville's been improving every year, and I think if we just believe in our coach, that's one thing we did in New York. We just believed in our coaches and believed in Coach Coughlin. And it starts with the leaders. And I think once the leaders started following and believing, I think everyone follows. And, I mean, someone told me this quote, if you're leading and nobody's following you, then you're just going for a walk. So as long as the leaders are doing the right things and following the coach, I think everything will take care of itself.
That's pretty funny. Actually, that Coughlin quote right there. I hope Prince Amukamara comes in and plays like a Pro Bowler this year, Tony. It'd be fantastic. I'll be probably satisfied if he at least doesn't approach it like Aaron Ross approached it, the last guy that they signed from the Giants to play in the secondary here as a vacation. And that's kind of what you, I think, appreciate about the one-year deal. Prince Amukamara is right back in a position where he's got to go out there and put his best tape forward for the National Football League so he can secure that long-term deal that I'm sure he is looking to get a hold of in the next free agency cycle. So come in here and play like a Pro Bowler, Prince. We'd be all in favor of that. Heath Evans, Tyler, set this cut up. Heath Evans played in the league for about 11 seasons, fullback with Seattle, with New England. I think he had a bit with Miami and with the New Orleans Saints at the end of his career, and is now an NFL analyst, and he was appearing with Colin Cowherd. And what was the gist of the conversation, Tyler?
He set it up pretty much very well. He talked to Colin, asked him about what he thought about the free agency period and the big spenders with Jacksonville and Oakland.
Do you buy into free agency? Giants, Jacksonville, hit it out of the park. Heath Evans, what do you think?
Remember that dream team back in 2011, the Philadelphia Eagles, with a great coach and Andy Reid? And this isn't a knock on what Gus Bradley's going to try to do in Jacksonville.
I know.
But when you start mixing and matching a whole bunch of pieces, people are like, oh, Bill Belichick did it with Revis. One piece. And this is Bill freaking Belichick we're talking about. It was one piece.
And then he got rid of him in 1 year.
Too much money. Let's get our Lombardi. We're lacking one thing, so we're going to make this move. Look at the Randy Moss move, you know, and Wes Welker. There was two pieces that year. And then our offensive dynamic totally changed. And other than the Super Bowl versus the Giants, we were one of the best offenses ever to strap it on.
Yeah.
So when you start not only bringing in so many pieces, but then you start overpaying. I mean, Malik Jackson, buddy, I love you, but if you go through that roster of defensive players for the Broncos, offensive mindset, he's probably number six on the game plan chart of guys you're trying to stop. Where's Vaughn? Where's DeMarcus? Where's TJ Ward? Where's Stewart, the other safety? We've got fast, speedy linebackers. And then, oh yeah, Derek Wolfe, who now we know got underpaid by John Elway and his staff, because if you're trying to eliminate one of those guys first,
yeah,
I would argue that Derek had a much better year than Malik. And so you pay Malik this god-awful contract. Now, you know, in my Twitter, I've got this thing, ballers and bank robbers, that I do during the season.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that bank robber set because there's no way he can live up to that contract. It's like Sue.
All right, well, look, that may be accurate at the end. I don't know if Malik Jackson can live up to a $90 million contract. As he even said himself, he wants to earn every penny of that. That means he's been playing exceptionally well. Some of that $90 million is incentive-based, Tony. There's a great chance he doesn't earn every penny and therefore isn't worth that $90 million deal. That's fine. At least I think it's fine as long as he performs at a very high level. Now, I think it's funny, though, that Heath Evans says, well, look, New England brought in one guy. And then he goes back to 2007. Well, they only brought in two guys. Well, they also brought in Dante Stallworth. They brought in arguably the second greatest receiver in the history of the National Football League in Randy Moss. They brought in the greatest slot receiver of the generation in Wes Welker. And Stallworth was kind of an afterthought, but as a field stretcher, that was your top, that was your depth chart at wide receiver when the Patriots went 16-0 that year and ultimately lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. Then he mentions Denver when he talks about, well, you know, Malik Jackson was like sixth on guys. Really, Darian Stewart? Darian Stewart, who, by the way, was a free agent signing for Baltimore. T.J. Ward, who was a free agent signing from Cleveland. What about Aqib Talib, who was a free agent signing from New England? So,
or DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware, right. So just because New England only had one high-profile guy, what did it do? It propelled them to the Super Bowl. I mean, you tell me Bill Belichick's the only one who could integrate a new player into a defensive scheme? Are you kidding me? Denver had a bunch of them on the defensive side of the ball in the last few years, and it helped propel them to a Super Bowl championship. I'm not saying just because you spend a lot of money, you're automatically going to have success on the field. I think it's funny. What else are you supposed to do? Should you not acquire Malik Jackson? Because, you know what, it's going to be tougher to integrate him. Let's just stick with Tyson Alualu.
Sure.
Right?
Look, Heath, I get it. Jacksonville isn't New England. They're not at the same level as New England. It's a shame that they're not. I would love for sometime in the near future for this franchise to be in that kind of position where they really only need to go get one guy, and they feel like that's going to be the thing that puts them over the top. They're just not. They're not in that position, and to compare them to the 2011 Eagles, stop it. The Philadelphia Eagles signed, I just went and looked, 12 players in that free agent class.
And big, big names.
And
guys.
Some of the names that were in
Asamoah.
There. Asamoah, Jason Babin, who was a big-time pass rusher at that time, Ronnie Brown, Ryan Harris, Colin Jenkins, Evan Mathis, Jared Page, Vince Young, were all in that one free agent class. This is not that. That's illogical to compare it to that and the kind of money that the Philadelphia Eagles spent. Nobody wants to build their team through free agency. Nobody. Everybody wants to be Green Bay and New England and these other teams, Seattle, who can go out and pick and choose one or two guys to come in and help their roster. Everybody's not in that position. And if the Jags have $90 million to spend, if they didn't spend any of it, I would kill them for not spending any of it. Is Malik Jackson going to be able to live up to that contract? Maybe not, but we've talked about this for the last month. The national guys aren't going to talk about it this way because it's just not what they do. In Jacksonville, if the defense goes from 31 to 14, it's worth it. Whatever they spend on Jackson is worth it. That's how you qualify that contract, at least in my head. And I think Jackson is the type of guy who gives them a significant step in that direction on this defense and was worth the money to Jacksonville. Is he worth the money to New England? No, because they don't need him. Is he worth the money to Denver? Probably not, because they decided they didn't need him. Is he worth the money to Jacksonville? Yeah. Malik Jackson is worth $90 million to Jacksonville. Olivier Vernon is worth $85 million to New York. And there's nothing wrong with them spending that money. Did they spend it the right way? We'll find out. You don't know yet. We just don't know yet.
Ironically enough, that list of Eagles that were signed, what was it, 2011, right?
Yeah.
Evan Mathis. Oh, yeah, that was another guy that Denver added for 1 year to make their Super Bowl run.
Sure.
This is the same guy that signed with Philadelphia back in 2011, makes the list for the Denver Broncos. So, you know, you could point out examples on each side of your argument, and you could do that all day. And maybe Heath Evans will be right. I'm not saying that, again, Malik Jackson in the abstract, is he worth $90 million? Is anybody worth $90 million? Well, like you said, to this team, in the position they're in with the cap space, in the world of the NFL, where $90 million is not as outrageous as it is in real life outside of professional sports, then, yeah, maybe he is going to be worth it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think we all certainly hope so. All right, coming back, we'll look at the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Super Tuesday asked you to vote today. Top five players, who are the five most talented players on this Jaguar roster as of right now, including the newcomers that they've acquired through free agency in the last week. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tyler Devitt at 1010XL World Headquarters. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the stretch here, a lot of people reacting to the Heath Evans comments here on Twitter. Variety of people saying in a variety of ways, basically, well, he wasn't that great of a player. Who cares what he has to say? Well, the response to that would be, how good of a player were you, and what difference does that make? He's allowed to have an opinion. I mean, his level of playing expertise,
sure,
which, by the way, kept him in the league for a decade. He wasn't terrible. He was a fullback, for goodness sakes. He's not, you know, it's not a glamour position. You know, that to me has no bearing on whether or not Heath Evans may have never played football, and his opinion may end up being the correct one.
I don't think his opinion is totally wrong. I think it's limited. If the only teams that could, if only New England and Green Bay and that way of doing things is successful, well, how do they get to that point? is kind of what I'm saying. Like, how do you get to the point where you are New England and Green Bay and you only need a piece or two at a time? At some point they spent. At some point they went out and brought pieces in, and it wasn't just the draft. We got one on the text line that said if Ted Thompson was in Jacksonville, he would be building through the draft, same thing he would do in New England. Well, is Caldwell not trying to build through the draft?
Do you want it to be a 6-year plan?
Right. It's not that they're not building through the draft. It's that they had an opportunity to spend some money in free agency. They didn't plan on spending any kind of big money in free agency until this year. And that's what they've been saying basically since they got here. We're not spending in the first couple of years. Spent a little bit last year, spent a lot this year, and wanted to spend even more to go get Olivier Vernon. So they're doing what they said they were going to do while they build it through the draft. And the defense, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. If you want to be critical of Caldwell, then it's that first draft with Jokel and Cyprian and Gratz when they don't know if they really have solid answers at any of those three positions. They feel pretty good about Jokel inside the building, but you can't feel good about Cyprian going forward, and you already replaced Gratz. You signed Prince Amukamara in this offseason. If you're going to be critical of them not building through the draft, that's where you're critical of them. The rest of it, it feels like they've done a pretty good job.
All right, a few on the text line here on a variety of subjects, and then we'll get to the fan feedback spotlight. This one coming in early in the show. I'm convinced Trump only wants to be president so he can get revenge on the NFL for that $1 check. It's actually a $3 check that he, as the owner of the New Jersey Generals, was part of the USFL lawsuit against the National Football League, where the NFL was was penalized a dollar, and the damages were tripled, or trebled, as they like to say. But nonetheless, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. What round do y'all think Antonio Morrison of Florida is going in? I think he'd be a good pick at linebacker in the draft in the third round. Long injury history. I know he came back last year and played well. Despite that, he's an intense guy, Tony. Most of the scouts, I think he is ultimately a two-down inside linebacker, and maybe best suited to play inside in a 3-4 defense. I have seen projections that list him as high as a third round guy. I think it's more likely he's more like a fourth or fifth round guy, due to some limitations and concerns about his injury status. I'm hoping the Jags do something else at the linebacker position very, very early in the draft.
I'm with you there.
Also, today is Pooper Booze Day, not Super Tuesday. So I'd share that one with you. That's fine. Didn't Beecham, this is a separate one, didn't Beecham from the 3-3-4. Kelvin Beecham plays some center in Pittsburgh. Could that be the Jags angle? It is definitely not the Jags angle. Trust us on this one. If Beecham comes in, I agree with you. Competing with Luke Jokel for the left tackle spot, an open, true competition at that spot, and the loser maybe has options, in terms of does he have some flexibility elsewhere. But he's not coming in here to play any center if he does come in here at all. Let's see. Don't need that. Okay, in terms of the fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Butch Family Dealership, we're asking for your top five current Jags. Got this one. OMG, where can I start? Jags finally have a huge amount of talent. Should be top 15 or 20 because Jags have so much talent now. Thank you, Jesus. Don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but I think it is becoming more difficult. Before we get to the fan feedback side of it, Tony, who are your top five current Jacksonville Jaguars?
Let's see. number five for me, I had Malik Jackson.
I didn't rank mine, but
I did. Okay. But it's more a difficulty of trying to figure out where I'd put Cedric Marks on this list. I think before the ACL injury, he might have been one or two on this list for me, but I don't know where to put him coming off the injury. So I have Malik Jackson at five, Julius Thomas at four, who I thought was the best player in a Jaguars uniform during last offseason. The injury set him back. Number three, Brandon Linder. Two, Blake Bortles, and number one, Allen Robinson.
The only difference I have in my list is one guy, and I'll get to that momentarily. I agree with you, Malik Jackson, kind of on the potential and what we've seen and where he fits in right now. Cedric Marks had two seasons, or I guess a full season, had ended his breakout season healthy and had a completely healthy year and built on that season last year. Then maybe they wouldn't have even needed to sign Malik Jackson, right? And or maybe they would have invested less heavily in the position. But I'm with you. For now, he's outside of my top five. I took Linder out, And certainly he's a candidate. Everyone talks about him being the best lineman on the team. He only played two games last year, so he hasn't played a whole lot of football for the team. I just felt like I had to put Allen Hurns in there. Like, what more does this guy need to do week in, week out to prove he's among the best players on this football team? He delivers a ridiculous streak of consecutive games with touchdowns last year. Is tough as they come, a good route runner. Allen Hurns' productivity didn't happen by accident, so I have him in my top five in place of Linder. But I agree with you. Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles, Julius Thomas, and Malik Jackson all made my top five as well. Twitter, what do they say?
Here's what we got from Duval Doom. Number five, Linder. Four, Julius Thomas. Three, Hurns. Two, Robinson. One, Blake Bortles. From Eric, A-Rob, Bortles, Malik, Senderic, then Hurns based off production. Fowler, maybe next year. They certainly need Fowler to be a top five type guy. From Eric, A-Rob, Blake, Julius, Malik, Marks, if healthy, or Fowler if he lives up to the hype. From Jeff, Marks, A-Rob, Bortles, Puz, and Malik Jackson. From Irish Jaguar, number one, Allen Robinson, two, Brandon Linder, three, Malik Jackson, four, Julius Thomas, five, Telvin Smith. From Joey, Robinson, Jackson, Telvin, Bortles, and Linder, but that list can easily change this season. From John, my top five are Bortles, A-Rob, Linder, Telvin Smith, and Senderic Marks. And from Dilla, we got A-Rob at one, Blake at two, Linder three, Malik Jackson four, and Carson Tinker, five.
Yeah, my man, Damon, I'm a little upset with Damon. I get the snarky sarcasm there. But Damon gave me a list on Facebook of about 15 guys, none of which are Allen Hurns. You kidding me? You're not in the top 15, Jaguars? Stop it. I got to believe that is a blatant oversight. His official top five was Malik Jackson, Allen Robinson, Brandon Linder, Telvin Smith, and Blake Bortles. Zoltan went with Malik Jackson, Allen Robinson, Senderic Marks, Brandon Linder, and Julius Thomas. Joe said Devon House is worthy of a top five mention, along with Bortles, Hurns, Telvin, and Allen Robinson. See the theme with Allen Robinson. Joshua went Allen Robinson, Blake, Telvin, Hurns, and Julius. A lot of offense again. Jackson, Bortles, Robinson, Thomas, Hurns. So there's probably about a 7 or 8 deep list that most people are drawing.
Yeah,
from,
and
right?
For me, I listed my four: A-Rob, Bortles, Linder, Julius Thomas, and then Hurns was a serious consideration for me. And I was like, well, who's the best defensive player on the Jags? I don't have a defensive player in the five, and maybe there shouldn't be one based on the production that they had the last couple of years. And Senderic Marks was the best defensive player they had before the ACL injury. Maybe there shouldn't be one. And I did seriously consider Hurns in that spot, Malik Jackson, who I wound up going with, and I thought Devon House was actually really good, but I can't put him ahead of those other two guys. I can't do it. I think he's a really good corner. I don't think he's a great one, and if they're still at a position where I think one of the top five players on the roster is a guy who's really good, I don't know about that. There's potential for these other guys to be great.
Couple other quick thoughts here. Here's a text in, said Caldwell's building through the draft, but in 3 years hasn't hit any home runs at all. Any?
Stop.
Any?
Stop.
Any? Hello? Hello? 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns in the second round? You got that guy at the end of round two? That's not a home run? Allen Robinson's a home freaking run. I think you could say, you could argue that Blake Bortles is, but you can also argue that he's not quite that yet. I think the potential that he's shown, the 35 touchdowns, that aspect's a home run. He's got to clean up the turnover side of things. Allen Robinson, unless you just forgot he's on the team, clearly a home run. Brandon Linder may turn out to be a home run. It's tougher to judge, and he did have basically a lost season last year. Dante Fowler may turn out to be a home run. We don't know. We haven't seen the guy on the field yet.
Telvin Smith is a fifth-round pick. Telvin,
as a fifth-round pick, that's a home run, right? I'd like to include Hurns, but he wasn't a draft pick. But the fact that they were able to sign him as an undrafted free agent, but whatever.
Aaron Colvin?
I don't know. Home
Not
run.
A home run, but definitely a solid pick in the fourth round, right?
I'll give him a double.
it's a good pick.
It's a solid pick. Yeah. Right? I wouldn't necessarily classify Aaron Colvin as a home run yet. He's not on the breakout par of Allen Robinson, for goodness sakes. But, he's a solid guy.
I think they've had two really good back-to-back drafts. I believe that. Like, they're still waiting on Marquise Lee to show them something, and if you want to give them a big miss on that, okay. But I think they've had really good back-to-back drafts. That first draft, you can ask all the questions you want to about the 2013 draft, and it's from top to bottom.
No doubt.
All the questions you want to.
For the ones who are still here, at
yeah,
least.
I mean, you're talking about, we mentioned the first three picks a few moments ago with Jokel and Cyprian and Grotz, and then it's a Sanders was the fourth-round pick that year. Denard Robinson was the fifth-round pick that year. I think they've gotten more out of Josh Evans than anyone expected them to. The fact that he's still on this roster and was still a guy that was in and out of the starting lineup for them at free safety last year, maybe that's an okay pick because it's a six-round pick. It's obviously not a home run, but he's been an okay player for them since they got here. Not a whole lot there in that 2013 draft, but I think the last two drafts, they've been really, really good.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to all of you out there in Radio Land for listening in. Go out there and vote, and vote early, vote often. No, you can only do it one time. That is, if you're a registered Republican or Democrat, you're able to vote today. Somebody tweet me earlier, don't forget about all us independents. We're not able to vote. I get it. If you can vote, vote. If you can't,
yeah, that's
don't.
Why I'm not voting.
Yeah, sure. You're not registered as anything, buddy. All right. I can imagine what party you're a part of, and it's nothing having to do with politics. Let's just leave it at that. All right. That's going to do it for us today on this Super Tuesday. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.